We have hit the climax of this season, and boy, is it a doozy. Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV Voltron Legendary Defender After Show. We are looking at Season 7, Episodes 11 and 12. We are going to talk about betrayals and double betrayals, the biggest ship any of us have ever seen, and remote piloting. We will see you after the opening, and team, it's time to form Voltron!
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I always get really excited whenever we find an excuse to pull up this song.
I think it's the first time we've managed to do it on this show, and I'm very proud of myself.
It works. It really does. Works.
I'm very pleased with that, because we kind of did, it was either this or the ultimate showdown of Ultimate Destiny, and I feel like this was a little more fitting.
Nice. Good
it's
choice.
Very ominous.
this entire show. So,
complete sidebar. I had my headphones on when I was rewatching these two episodes. The music is phenomenal.
Yes, it is.
The music and the sound effects.
Yeah.
So let's get into talking about these two episodes. We are the AfterBuzz TV Voltron Legendary Defender After Show. We are looking at Season 7, Episodes 11 and 12, Trial by Fire and Lion's Pride Part 1. This is only half of the climax. With me tonight, I have Green Lion Megan Salinas.
Hey, everybody.
I am Black Lion Katie Cullen. And we have two very special guests with us tonight. We have the voice of Allura, Kimberly Brooks.
Hello.
And for the first time, we have the voice of Sendak, Jake Eberle.
Oh, my God.
We're in trouble.
And he's happy to be here.
I am indeed. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight.
A pleasure, really.
Good to be here.
So we actually haven't had a chance to talk with you before, Jake. So I want to talk a little bit about Sendak before we get into these episodes, because he's been, I want to say, just as much of a presence as Zarkon has in this series, despite the fact that he exited stage left in season one.
Well, he's kind of a troublemaker. You know, he leaves and then he comes back just to cause problems for everyone. But he really wants that fire more than anything, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
How did you get this part? What did you bring into Sendak?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, as actors, as voice actors, we audition a lot.
Constantly.
And I was very fortunate to get called back, and I had a great time with the callbacks, and I actually read for Zarkon as well.
Really?
Yes. A little known fact.
Did not know that.
What was your Zarkon voice?
Oh, he was down here like this, you know. And Keith did a great job. So not Keith, was it?
Neil.
Neil did a great job. He was amazing. But it just happened, and it was a wonderful fortuitous thing. And everybody's been amazing. I mean, from Andrea Romano to Serena and all the cast, and everybody's been just unbelievable, great. And Joaquin and
Lauren,
they're incredible, and they're always very clear about what they want, even when you screw up.
Which we all do.
Yes, exactly. But that's really it. And I don't know how he came up with that. I mean, you know, I think when I was doing the auditions, I was thinking at the time that the British people were the evil people. Right? No, because you know the Jaguar was using that, and they were saying like the Brits were the evil ones. They were always the bad guy.
Yes.
And so I went that way, and it actually worked.
They just sound
British
cooler
people.
As bad guys, I think. It just works better.
I think for space operas in particular, because of Star Wars, we're all like, ah, if somebody speaks in a British accent,
they've got to be bad.
They must be evil.
Yes. Right.
So what do you think about Sendak as a character?
You know, I think he's a sympathetic character.
Really? Wow.
I mean, the Rolling Stones gave us sympathy for the devil.
Come on, that's right. You got to have dimension, right? I think he was brought up that way. This is what these people were supposed to do. And, you know, I mean, maybe it's corny, but you kind of go there and you have to be serious about it to play the part. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You gotta play and commit to it and go, okay, this is my job. You know, this is what I want. I want the fire. I want to lead my people to greatness.
Honestly, it's not just a 9-to-5. It's my life.
It's my life. Exactly. You know, and our jobs are to go in there and dive in and have the most fun possible.
Exactly.
And I really, that's really what it's about, is just having as much fun as possible.
I think Sendak needs a hug. Basically. I really do.
It's okay.
With a huge arm.
With a big giant neck arm. Like
all the better for hugs.
Oops, sorry. Is that your nose?
He was a joy to watch in a scream and throw things at the screen sort of fashion. Yeah. So very well done.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. It was a lot of fun. And right. The people I was working with were great.
Yeah. Too, so. We had some good times.
Yeah, we did.
Because you got to record with us.
Yeah. A bunch of times.
Yeah. Pretty much like the last, all that stuff we did in the last season. Yeah. And stuff
with
before, yeah.
Lotor and everything else. And
it makes it so much more, I don't know, it's just so much better to act with the other
members. Oh, my God. It makes a huge difference. And actually, I ended up getting brought back when I had done stuff alone to work with them because my stuff was horrible.
No, No.
I doubt that's the case.
I'm sure they had rewrites.
Honestly. No, it was much better working
with them. It just makes it.
Yeah. Because you're working across from somebody. It's like us talking to you. We couldn't really do it without you here.
Yeah. It makes it, yes. It's true.
I mean, we are firm believers in Skype when it comes to it.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, there's always that little bit of a disconnect.
And
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I imagine as actors, you guys always have to put a lot of faith in your directors anyway. But when you're in the booth by yourself, you're really putting all of your faith
in. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And when you're on a show where you're not like when you're new to a show or a new character, it just helps so much to get just the feel of the show. Here are the other characters, the attitude, the tone of the show. So I think that was really great that they did that.
Yeah.
And that's Andre Armano too, making sure that we all are in together.
Yeah, that was definitely ensemble.
But before we get, I hope it's not too much of a sidetrack, but I do want to ask a little bit, because she's retired now, mm-hmm. What's the highlight of getting to work with Andre Armano? Because she's a legend.
That's absolutely on topic.
Yes, completely. Well, she was one of the first people that actually hired me more than 20 years ago for my first voiceover job. One of the shows I was working on was Static Shock that she was directing with the awesome Phil LaMarr and other cast members that I love. I think Cree worked on that show, and I think Kevin Michael Richardson, a lot of great people. So I love her, and every time I get to work with her, she's just I can't begin to explain it. She makes you feel like a legitimate actor, because she brings out the best in every actor, no matter what level you're at, where you're at. She just has that ability to just make you believe in yourself that you can do it. And I don't know, it's just a great experience. And she's so quick and so good, and she knows how to get you exactly where she needs you to be. So,
and man, she does her research.
Oh yeah.
I mean, she goes over those scripts and she really knows what she wants when she comes in there. Which makes our jobs easier because she's so clear.
Yeah, you're like in really good hands.
If you go wrong direction, she goes, no. Yeah. We're going this way.
Right.
And then she'll make it really clear and you're on track again. It's great. I mean, she's amazing.
Look at her body of work and see, obviously, she's the top.
Yeah, really, she's amazing.
We're so blessed we worked on her last show, so.
Yeah.
Makes we're going to miss her work.
Yeah.
I know. But hopefully she's out there having like the best time. Traveling, she doing all this stuff. She's traveling the world.
She's earned it, certainly.
Oh my gosh, definitely.
But, my God, yes.
But it makes me sad that she's no longer.
Of course, selfishly, I'm like, just can you be at every session?
Can you just work on every show from now until forever? Please.
Exactly.
Can you freelance?
Yeah. Can you just be in my cell phone?
Can you be my coach? Can you come over?
Exactly. Let's go get tea. It'll be great. Anyway, we do need to swing into talking about these episodes, but before we do, an announcement and a little bit of housekeeping. So let's take care of that announcement first.
Hey, After Bros! Our network produces aftershows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help After Bros continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button for now, for this channel, and check out our other After Bros YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air, just like Space Whiz Pidge last week. We want to give you a shout out. I know you left your iTunes comment, but you also left a YouTube comment saying you subscribe, so thank you. Let us for now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
And for those asking, yes, Alexis, After Bros is your legacy. Alexis is in chat right now.
We love you, Alexis.
Yes. We miss Alexis. Oh, wait, it was my camera.
Over here, yeah. Just hold your hands way out and you'll get into the other shot.
She'll see it somehow.
Yeah, yeah, no, good times and great oldies. A little bit of housekeeping before we go into episode discussion. Usual rules of the chat apply. We're talking about 11 and 12. We are not talking about the full season yet. If we get the time to do that, we will drop a spoiler warning, and that's the point where if for some reason you haven't seen the last episode of this season yet, there are people who watch along with us, and they have the best self-control.
Wow.
So... until wow, then, indeed. Keep the hashtag spoiler-free, and that hashtag is ABTVVoltron if you want to participate. Keep the live chat spoiler-free. Keep the comments spoiler-free. Respect people. Also, we've implemented the new rule, which is basically be kind or get out. Everyone has opinions. Your opinions are valid. I firmly believe you can express them as polite human beings, and if you can't do that, you will be banned from the channel.
Oh. Ooh.
Goodbye. Full on goodbye, bye, Felicia. Indeed. We don't want to hear that. For the most part, people have been super great about that.
Yeah.
So please continue to be super great about that. And then before... we get started. I want to give a very particular fan shout out to James Foran,
mm-hmm.
who is our bartender at the Tavern of Lions here and has made a full on Tavern of Lions pub menu for us. And this to me is
isn't
just
that adorable?
Incredible.
I get that
he made a coat of arms. We have a cover. We have a rules page, which I very much appreciate. Be kind or leave. Don't spam the chat. Keep the language PG-13. You're beautiful. And the part that made me just laugh out loud was the menu. Because he has incorporated all of our ridiculous jokes into this menu.
Wow.
There's a drink called Sendak on Ice.
Oh, yes. And
which was something I made forever
ago. I'll have that rapid salad, please. I'm waking up my lips.
I'm particularly fond of the Bebo black bean soup and the Galra dumpster fire plate, which I assume is entirely deep fried.
Whoa,
but
I love
Alexis's
it.
Tears as a drink special. Is the point where I had to put down the phone and just laugh.
I think my favorite thing was the blade of mimosa.
Oh, that is brilliant. I will take two.
Oh, yeah. Look at, why is the Sendak on Ice $17? Oh, you know what? This pub is in LA.
Yep.
He even got that right. So this is incredible.
Attention to detail.
Holy cow, James Foran. You went above and beyond. This is absolutely so fantastic.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, James, thank you for that drink, man. Really, I'm going to have to go ask my bartender for a Sendak on Ice.
I'll give you the recipe.
All right, thank you.
I've made them before.
Okay,
I
you
love
have a
it.
Recipe.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I do.
Is there tequila
I
in
do.
That by any chance?
No, it is Vanique, Blue Curacao, Sprite, and Midori. And a glow cube.
Wow, she's not.
Oh my God.
She is not kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Oh my God.
I have made this before.
Whoa.
It's purple and it sparkles.
I love it. That is so great.
You could get one of those little arm umbrellas, you know, like a little glowing arm.
Yes.
You know what I mean? James, next job.
This is a thing of wonder and glory. Just so, thank you so much.
Thank you, James. You're the best.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, let's move into this. We really need to start talking about these episodes. And honestly, I want to talk about the Garrison side first.
Oh.
Because these two episodes are when we really, really get to see them shine. Right after, I we say this every time, I feel bad for Admiral Sonda. I do. She made the wrong decision for the right reason, and in this episode, you really get that, oh, no, I was doing my best. I tried. This is what I intended, and boy, did it not turn out. After she gets double-crossed by Sendak, because who didn't see that coming? Just her. Just her.
She's the only one.
She saw the good side in Sendak.
Is that what it was?
She was hoping anyway.
Or I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe they had, maybe, I don't know.
They respected each other.
I was
going to
say there was a mutual respect of some kind.
Well,
maybe not.
The Galra rules of engagement are more just guidelines.
Yeah, exactly. And well, she betrayed her people, so why wouldn't she betray me? Right?
But was it really a betrayal? I think it was more of, she was, like you said, trying to do the right
thing by making the wrong choice.
By making the wrong choice. But also, she wasn't a good listener. People kept trying to tell her. And she refused to listen. And I think to be a good leader, you need to listen.
This is true.
I mean, one of the moments that really took me aback was in the previous episode when she basically told Allura, how about you leave the matters of Earth to the people who actually live
here? See, that's what I'm talking about. I was like, oh, no, you didn't.
You just don't get to give away Allura's stuff.
Yeah. Allura was like, excuse me. But yeah, I think that's where she made her first mistake.
I'd back it up a little further than that. Yeah. There were other mistakes.
More like middle of the list.
Yeah, that was probably like, C, D, E. Yeah, that was a little bit down there. Yeah.
But I know we talked about this a little bit last week, but that's what I really love about Sonda as a character, though. She's a very flawed person, but in no way, shape, or form is she ever portrayed as being evil or two-dimensional.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. Because that's an option, too. Like, it doesn't have to be evil or good. It could be, like, someone that has the right intentions, but just didn't quite get, you know, make the connection. So I like how they did that. You're right. Yeah, that's a really...
It really is true.
And then her throwing down with Hepta later on being the reason that the Paladins didn't all get horribly murdered.
It's true. She did the right thing.
Yeah. She wound up being pretty great. And I just had to laugh because God bless Hepta. He does a whole lot of nothing and then he gets murdered.
Yeah. It's like,
Like, in terms of villainous death scenes, like, his was pretty darn gruesome.
I know.
It's like, I have won. Oh, wait, that's a lion.
For a pretty low-level character, they kind of went a little over the top with his demise.
Maybe that's why. Maybe because it was a character they could finally get to do that with. Or something. I don't know.
And he was fully taken out.
But, well, it's Matthew Mercer. We can't kill him off screen. Let's go for it, man.
Let's take our opportunity.
Yeah. I appreciated Hepta for everything he was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, on the Garrison side, Sonda just wound up being a really good character, even if she was an incredibly frustrating character.
Yeah.
And it helps to have people like that even on your side. Just like, okay, not everyone's going to get along and be hunky-dory. Some people are a little too lawful good to be able to modify their behavior.
And a little tiny, just little bit of dialogue at the top of the episode that I really appreciated was she's like, okay, I'm giving you the lions. Give me back the paladins. Like, it was never her intention to leave them out to dry or to get them killed.
Oh, right.
It was just like, I'm giving you your equipment. Give me back the soldiers and you can be on your merry way now.
Right, right. But that, you know, that really didn't work out.
It doesn't really work that way.
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
Exactly.
But yeah, I loved her, and I'm sad that she's gone because it would have been interesting to see how her character would have changed in the next season. But like, if you're gonna go, like as a character send off, this was really well done.
I'm saying as an actor, that's kind of a good, you know, if you gotta go. Yeah. She had a good arc. She, you know, she redeemed herself, and now we move on.
She had an honorable death.
She had an honorable death.
You know, and she really did.
We had three really solid death scenes in these two episodes.
I know. It was a very dark season. Like,
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Just, you know, and reading it, you know, recording it the way we do, you don't know how dark it really is overall until you see the whole thing put together.
That's true.
I was like,
Yeah, Voltron as a show, as a whole, has never really shied away from darker subject matter, but this season in particular, it's definitely felt like there was a more overt shift in tone. Yeah, what was your guys' reaction, like, kind of sitting down and getting to see all that come together, seeing how dark it actually got?
Yeah. Well, I don't feel dead.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. As we were talking about earlier, I think you hit me in the arm and I passed out.
Yeah, are you dead?
No, I don't know. I don't feel
just
it right
asleep,
now.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe asleep. I was overwhelmed.
You're just very out of it.
I passed out. Didn't get enough sleep the night before.
You know, that's the exact
all that
moment.
Fighting on the top
where
of the ship.
All of his caffeine just completely wore off.
That's right.
We were talking about this before the show, but yeah, Keith just completely missed, and Sendak was just so embarrassed. He's just like, it's easier for
I'm
everyone if
fall
I just
for
lie
you.
Down.
Pretty much. Yeah, and wait, I'm sorry. What was the first part of that question?
Feelings on the shift in tone for this.
Yeah.
Season.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was. And like you said, like everything came together. Was really beautiful to look at. The music was amazing, phenomenal.
It was epic.
It was very epic. Yeah. And it felt epic, and it felt huge, and it felt important. So yeah. I think they did a really great job. They always do a great job.
They really do.
And like all those the character dynamics and just how everything was put together just made it so much more interesting. It was really wonderful.
Yeah, and it was, I think I was talking to Josh about this, just like who is the bad guy? Like, you know, we had Lotor, obviously Zarkon. Now we get this guy.
Yeah. And I love that Sendak is the one that they're worried about now that Zarkon has gone. Like, Sendak, the guy who actually managed to steal all the lions, Sendak, that one?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's right.
The guy who left Shiro a traumatized mess on the floor, that guy.
The guy who got Wrath of Khan back in season 11. Totally.
There's a reason it's called the Sendak on Ice.
There you go.
But yeah, and then came back with panache. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That was great. Terrifying.
He's a wonderful guy, though. Really, you got to get to know him. Honestly. No, it's like here we talk about the black and white, the dynamics of characters, the good and bad. But, you know, he really was just doing what he thought was right for his people. And, you know, bad as he might have been and the fact that he betrayed somebody, but those people were being betrayers themselves. You know, it's just like, look, I'm going to play your game, humans,
yeah.
You know, and I'll play your game your way. So, and you know, that he had to come back. And
in his mind, he's literally doing everything by the book.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right. He's following his code.
I mean, what else would he do in that situation?
That's right. Yeah, except conquer.
What would Sendak do if he retired and had to take up like a hobby?
His hobby
would be conquering.
Yes, that's right. I think he'd have trains that he'd conquer. Though.
Yeah,
you know, he'd have little war things.
Not
that he'd
total
conquer.
Conquering, just light conquering.
Yeah, light conquering. Now.
He'd play both sides of the game of Risk.
That's right. Cocktail conquering, right? Sendak on ice conquering. Story conquering.
I've conquered this bar. It's mine now.
Oh, the regular? Yes. I love the idea of him putting on like a weekly Risk game with
himself. By myself. And I'm going to film it.
Puts it up on Galactic YouTube.
At the bar where they serve the Sendak on ice.
Oh my god. That would be fantastic if that turned up in next season.
That's right. I'm in the bar?
Yeah.
Playing Risk with myself?
Again,
it's the Voltron Villains Tavern. We're taking a leaf from how it should have ended.
That's where Hagar's hanging out during her Eat, Pray, Love trip account.
Yeah. Where Lotor is checking his social media feed.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Oh, wow.
That's just such a great premise. I really need to see that.
The fan art of this is going to be incredible, I can't wait.
I have so much love for the fan art. It's amazing.
I am.
It's beautiful.
Blown away by how much of that stuff has been produced.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible.
Lot of talented people.
A lot of talented people.
And we've got a set few people who watch the show and then keep sending us sketches of the things we've discussed. So I would not be surprised if Sendak drinking a cocktail playing both sides of a game of Risk wound up being there. Because that is how we live our lives.
I love it.
Yeah. Walking around the table, thinking a moment. You know, like he's playing chess with himself.
Speaking of fan art, special shout out to Princess Ponies in the chat who did a great little picture of a cute little Sendak wanting, who wants a hug?
Aww.
Also special shout out to Carly the Cheetah, also on Twitter, who did a great picture of Pidge. So, great job.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, we really do need to talk about more episode stuff, though, because I'm looking at my notes and going, we've gotten through 75% of these.
There's still a lot to cover. There's still a lot to cover.
I'm amazed they got the Atlas off the ground. Yeah. Like, that's kind of been there since episode 7. Like, we've built this thing. We can't make it work, but we've built it. And it becomes their last resort because the paladins are captured, the lions are captured, the Zyforge cannons are on their way. It's endgame.
Yeah.
It really is.
What are we going to do?
Quintessence, man.
We're going to get this thing to work, evidently.
I absolutely love Coran because they're like, oh, we built this, you know, useless piece of junk. Like, it would take a miracle to power it.
Several supermassive black holes, which is the point where I just kind of cue up Muse and go, yeah, okay. Can't not think of that. And Coran with the, oh, yeah, I've been wearing a huge power source this whole time. Like, what is it with Itaeans wearing power sources?
He's like, you needed a miracle? Here I am.
We just like to have power on us at all times, I guess. Yeah.
And it works.
Well, even earlier this season when they were testing out Shiro's new arm, Allura giving up her crown, essentially.
I love that. I know. That was a really... Because I didn't know about that until I saw it. I don't know if it was described. I don't know. I don't remember that. And so when I saw it, I was like...
Well, a lot of it in the script is just like, okay, Kimberly, make effort noises.
Yes. Fall down. Go jump. Yes. You know, I don't know. Do your whip or something like that. That's pretty much it. But yeah, I know. It's like I said, until we get to see the whole thing, it's like basically it's like a new show to me in a weird way. I'm getting major allergies right now. Can you guys hear it? It's so weird. I'm getting all stuffed up. Sorry.
No.
I apologize.
Is that because of the flower crown?
I'm allergic to my flower crown.
Don't pull the curtain aside. They can't tell. Keep the magic where it is.
Yes, it's wonderful. It's when everything's wonderful. Quintessence.
I love the changing of the seasons, but yeah, allergies are the absolute worst part of it.
Ugh, it's just, I don't know. LA.
There's a huge fire, too.
Oh, that's probably
there's a huge fire. And
I knew there was stuff. I was like, what's in the air?
Yeah, it was just this giant black cloud coming over from Hollywood.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that could explain some things. Right?
There's a show business joke there, but I can't think of it.
Hey, the new Michael Bay movie is filming.
Something about that seems oddly relevant.
I was going to say
a little bit.
Black cloud over Hollywood. Hmm.
Anyway, speaking of changing of seasons, we had a changing of the guard. Watching Shiro become a captain in just very quick succession was incredible.
Yeah.
Because you don't really think about it. Like, this is just what he does. He's a leader. And then Coran says, yes, Captain. And we all kind of go, what?
That was very touching.
That was. Everybody paused.
Yeah, because we didn't know what was going to happen when we got back to Earth, what the hierarchies are going to be, or, you know, like we could see what's going on with, you know, whatever I'm trying to say. I don't know what I'm trying to say. My point is, he is a natural. And it was, I don't know, I got choked up at that moment.
Well, I think... Go ahead.
Well, and so I wound up talking about this a little bit on Twitter, but Shiro's arc in this season is a very good example of what do you do when you can no longer live your dream? Ooh. Because I want to be a paladin again. He really wanted to be a paladin. There was nothing more fulfilling to him, and now he can't. And going on, continuing to lead this team, provide support, do everything he can, instead of just giving up and being like, well, that's it, my dream is over, what am I going to do? He keeps going, and now he's the captain of this incredible ship, and he's earned that, man.
Oh, well, and also, maybe the universe has a big plan, because if he had been a paladin, who would have been there to, you know, to do what he was doing?
Exactly.
So I think it all just worked out the way that it's supposed to work out, at least for this season.
And he's still a mentor. You know, he's still the mentor to everyone.
Yeah.
You know, he's the honorable.
Yeah, that was a really great moment. I love that.
So this, at one point in my notes, I wrote, this is the best day of Shiro's life. Look at that smile. at that point where it's just the paladins are back, the Atlas is flying, everything's working out, and you could just see this big grin on his face like, yeah, let's do this.
Like,
yeah! Back in the saddle again.
Right. Oh, God, yeah.
I'll be back.
It was a thing of wonder and glory. And then, God bless, we're sending him over to Sendak's ship to go hack the crystal, because that's how this works. We have Altaian magic and diamonds powering the Atlas, and we're sending Shiro into space in the middle of a firefight so he can go hack a crystal on another ship. Like, this all makes so much sense in context, but you put it in a single sentence and it's like, what the hell am I talking about?
That's a lot.
And it works.
Yeah. And it worked out.
Just the comment about, I'm going to use your brain as a computer node. That wouldn't be the first time. Oh, bless you. You're self-aware.
Yeah, do you guys ever read this, a line from the script or like a description in the script and go, I'm like, I'm sure it'll make sense when it's on screen.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, even the ship, we had no idea how big that ship was going to be. I mean, it says it in the script, but...
You're like, a big ship on paper is a little different.
I was like, how did... And just how they made it look into scale, how they made it look so much bigger. I just thought that was really incredible. It just had the weight that needed to have.
And sometimes you read something, you have no idea what the context is.
Yeah.
You know, because you haven't seen the animation or where they're headed. So right. It's pretty incredible what you end up seeing. Yeah,
it is. I love that process.
It's a huge surprise and wonderful.
And this show is so good at providing a sense of scale. And I mean, we have a scale of humans versus lions and lion scale to Voltron. And then you see the Voltron scale to Atlas. Yes. And it's just like, I can't process that.
Right.
That's my brain gives out at that point because that is insane.
Yeah, because I literally out loud, I was like, that is one big ship. Like, I had no idea until I saw it. It was really cool.
I feel like a mech show or a giant monster show doesn't actually succeed unless you feel how big the actual creatures and the robots are.
Yeah, and especially coming this late in the season, you know what I mean? We're used to the scale and we're thinking Voltron is huge. And then, so
then you see it in context. Yeah. That's great.
It's just unbelievable. And having the Atlas there changes the tide of this battle, changes everything for Earth, is able to stop the beam from the Zyforge cannons. That's a planet killer. Like, that having this one new piece on the board changes everything. And it's amazing to watch these tactics adapt around it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and it's also fun looking at Griffin's whole team. Getting to see, you know, we got a couple episodes where we focused on them, but also getting to see them shine here, you know, as the series or the season is building to its apex is really cool too. And getting to see their personalities shine through a little bit as well.
Right. I know. I was like, are these guys getting a sequel? What's going on here?
I will take the spinoff season.
Spinoff. Yeah.
The like, MFB pilots. Like, sign me up.
Something's going. Yeah. I was going to say that would actually be really cool. The characters were really fleshed out, you know, and that's another thing, because some of those scripts, I didn't get that part of it. So I also didn't know, and I didn't know how awesome AJ was.
Yeah.
Because he's just an amazing actor and very versatile, and he's really a natural actor. So, like, even though he's doing characters, I don't know. It's weird. It's almost like he just really encompasses that character, and he's that person during, you know, he was Lotor.
Oh,
and, yeah. And then he's Griffin. It's just, I don't know. He's amazing. He's a really talented guy.
That was really fun.
Yeah. But I didn't, like I said, I didn't know any of that stuff until you actually get to see it.
Yeah. And Twitter has been releasing little bios of them. And they're like, Kincaid's first love was filmmaking. And I'm like, They just make you love them. Even in just these little teeny bits of character, like Rizavi rushing in and Liv's daughter being absolutely incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And that awkward little conversation of, I thought you maybe had like a mathematical battle plan. We have limited options. Okay, then.
She's like, no. Just do what we're doing.
I was expecting to hear something really smart and clever, and okay, that's all we got. All right. Moving on.
All right, cool. Let's go.
Funny writing.
And
she makes me happy.
I like it too because it's a very natural comedic moment. And, you know, this is a very, very serious set of episodes. And the comedy bits that we get are more light comedic relief as opposed to like distracting.
Right, right.
It's a really good balance.
Yeah. And you need that.
You really do. It helps the audience to be able to go, okay, <Right. laughs> I feel better about everything.
Exactly.
All right, let's keep going.
What do you got?
But it's just like, all right, I feel better. Let's continue.
Oh, yeah.
I was committing to the bit. Having a grand old time. Yeah, just the Garrison side of things and how seamlessly they've managed to integrate it has been fascinating and wonderful. Like, I never knew how badly I wanted this, and then we got it, and now it's kind of my everything.
Yeah.
Sam and Iverson MVPs, for sure.
Yes! Iverson has been incredible this season.
I know.
Both the character and the writer.
The sheer number of characters named
after the real writers.
Iverson, Carlton Ecker. It's wonderful.
I love it. Yeah. in the first season, there's something that happens where it's written like in, you could see it in the background. I remember saying that, like some of the writers' names, like on lockers or like, I don't know. I remember discovering that too, just like everybody else.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I'm not at all surprised by that.
Yeah, little winks. I love that. Or what do you call those things?
Easter eggs.
Yeah, Easter eggs.
Yeah, the storyboard and art teams are just on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
All right. Well, I think we need to talk about Sendak a little bit, but before we do, we're going to give just a minute to talk about iTunes. So for those of you who are familiar with the show, you already know the spiel. For those of you who are new, hi, hello, the best way you can support the show. If you want more episodes, if you want us to come back for the final season, which is dropping before the end of the year, oh my God. The person who said November, you send me some receipts. I need to know where you found that date, because I don't believe it until I see it announced. Exactly. But yeah, if you want to support the show, if you like what you see, if you want to see more, the best thing you can do is go to iTunes, find the podcast, rate it 5 stars, because we need 5 lions for Voltron, so only 5 will work. Thank you. Yeah, leave us a review and subscribe, because that helps boost our rankings in iTunes, so when people search for Voltron, they can find us more easily. Our producers check that. Other people who watch check that. So it just helps us gain more traction, which helps us as a show. And of course, if you leave a review, you get a shout out.
This podcast is great by Loverboy Lance. Thanks for making yes. this podcast. I freaking love Voltron, and my friends are completely done with me freaking out about it. This podcast has helped me through so much, and if you haven't listened to this podcast, you aren't even alive.
Wow, that's fantastic. Wow. I agree.
So thank you. And if you are in an iTunes store that is not the American iTunes store, please take a screen cap of your review and throw it in the hashtag #ABTVVoltron. We do check that. Those do count. And we have a hard time finding those because there's like 35 iTunes stores.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
it's hard getting access to the ones that aren't the American ones. So these screen caps are the best way to let us know.
Not unlike Just Another Human on Twitter. Kind of oblivious. 5 stars. I love listening to the show when heading to school or studying. You pick up things that I never would have noticed, and I love the theories that you shoot off one another and the amazing time you have. Hopefully I can catch a full live stream and not just the beginning. Thanks. Much love from the land down under.
They are watching live right now.
Oh my God.
And they just
God.
Submitted fan art of Lotor, Sendak, and Hagar at the bar. Thank you so much.
You're the best, and I love it.
Yeah, that's great.
That's all fantastic.
Right, well, I think we talk about Sendak now. Or continue to talk about Sendak.
Oh,
because this is the best day of Shiro's life and the last day of Sendak.
It's true. So you think.
I mean.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. No. It's a sad day for Sendak. But he went down, you know, doing what he had to do.
I would say victory or death are some of the best last words we've had on this show.
Yes.
Just that delivery. Like, my God.
He really wanted it.
Yeah.
Victory or death.
You could say that. Yeah.
He committed to the bit.
But this is one of those everything that could have possibly gone wrong for him did.
Yeah.
The humans had another ship in store. The Paladins were able to use the reflector plates that he himself put in place to deflect the beam. They were able to take out the cannons. His ship's crystal got hacked. He lost his lieutenant, which didn't really matter because he got another one. But then I assume that one also died.
That didn't
last
long.
Best laid plans.
But, and then there's the ultimate showdown of ultimate destiny with Shiro.
Yeah. Which that was a blast.
It was a beautiful fight scene.
It was really well done.
It was.
It was that new arm he got.
I didn't
have any control over that, so he defeated me.
Did you find it disarming?
Indeed. Only in the end.
But I mean, as a character, you know, he's so dead set on his convictions that being outmaneuvered, I don't think he would have wanted any other outcome.
No, it's either victory or death, really.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted those lions and he wanted all the
literally
everybody. Yes, exactly. Thank you.
It's one or the other.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, there's no alternative after the other one.
No, once you say something like that,
it's like, yeah. it's the end of the
game.
In
a way, it's very Jedi. Do or do not. There is no try. Yes. And he just didn't.
That's right.
An attempt was made. An attempt was not successful.
Right. It ended. It was a great time, though. It was that battle on the ship is incredible.
I spent a lot of time yelling about how they weren't burning up in Atmo. Yeah. I couldn't figure out why they weren't burning up on reentry,
special.
But cool.
Yeah. It was a special ship.
Yes. Quintessence. Let's just say Quintessence. Exactly. I don't know. What did prevent that from happening?
James
Special
Ferran.
Clone body. Yeah.
Yeah. James Ferran, who's having the time of his life, says, victory or death? Well, let's see what's behind door number two.
Thank you, James.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
And for a moment there, he had victory. He had won the fight against Shiro. Like, poor Shiro's just been beaten to hell and back today, and he was not getting up. And then suddenly, Keith from nowhere.
Keith. I'll find you, Keith.
Gotta love now, Keith.
Yeah.
I know some people have expressed a little bit of disappointment at Keith being the one to deal the final blow to Sendak. For me, though, I think it's, and I know we've talked about this off air, I think it's very sweet. Because at the end of the day, they saved each other.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's totally appropriate.
Oh, really? Yeah.
He's saving the guy that saved him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really the biggest payback. You know, it's really the biggest gesture that he could have done for Shiro.
And it's a team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like there's going to be, we're helping each other constantly. So that doesn't really surprise me it surprised me that people have, you know, an issue with that, but. That seems kind of like what we do for each other. You know, we're always helping each other and saving each other. So,
I saw that as an indication that you don't have to face your demons alone.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, you know, which real life lessons.
Yes.
Teamwork is a good. Even if you're dealing with something, you can always talk to your friends, your family, your support system when you're dealing with something that you're having a hard time handling. And for Shiro, it came in the form of Sendak.
Yes. A fight to the death with his arch nemesis. Yes.
The physical manifestation of your PTSD.
Exactly.
Let's go.
Do you want to talk victory or death?
Let's talk victory or death.
Oh my gosh. I would absolutely love to see Sendak as like an armchair
psychologist. Yeah, my next job is a therapist.
He's just like sitting on his own arm because it's big enough.
That's another good one. Yeah. Fan art, please.
Commence with the art.
And how does that make you feel? How does that make you feel today?
Rip it soft.
Say it with me. Rip it
soft.
Meditation techniques.
He has like an advice radio show, and his advice every single time is victory.
next caller, Rip it soft.
Go for Sendak.
Yeah.
I suppose in that situation, I chose death. It was a small metaphorical death, but I still chose it. Well, next time, pick victory.
It's a much better choice.
Yes.
Aw, thanks, Sendak. It's always nice to know you listen.
It came from the outside, though, I'll tell you.
Call 1-800-VRIPITSA.
But yeah, again, talking about great character send-offs, it was a good one.
It was.
Yeah,
it was a sad one, but a good one.
Yeah.
Did you ever imagine, like, when they first brought you in season one, that, you know, your character send-off would be the apex of, not the final season, but the season before the final season?
Oh, my God. When I was in stasis, I had no idea I was coming back.
You're like, I thought this was it.
I thought that was it. I'm cooked.
Goose is cooked.
We're on ice. Very specifically.
So it was a great surprise. You know, it's wonderful to see what can be done.
I didn't see it coming.
Character arcs, you know, it was just, and then that's what he got to come in and cause problems and, you know, at the right moment and throughout all of the seasons. It was great. It was really wonderful to have that arc.
Yeah. You know?
And it was so much fun to see him come back, because watching him go out at the end of season one and just going, nobody, no death, nobody, no death, nobody, no death, come on.
That's a Chekhov's gun if I've ever seen one.
I felt the same way.
Chekhov's entire Cholera General. Like, bye. Just because he's been yeeted into space doesn't mean he's not coming back.
That's exactly right.
See my views on LOTOR for next season.
We shall see.
We shall see. But it was so much fun to see him come back for the Krall's era, if I'm remembering that correctly.
Yeah.
All of these terms that I have trouble coming up with.
You're good.
Yeah, I'm doing my best. It is my job to know minutiae. Here we are.
I love it.
It was such a blast, though.
It was.
So overall, again, this was a very dark season. What do you guys think, as actors, was the most challenging part of recording this season?
Ooh, good question. And it was so far back. I have to remember.
Yeah, animation takes a long time. It does. So if you guys don't remember, it's totally fine.
Yeah, you know, the battle scenes were definitely the toughest. I mean, vocally, you know, and commitment-wise, those are definitely the hardest. But the most fun, too, because you're so committed and into it. That's great.
Yeah, I find it...
You had a lot more than I did to do, so...
Maybe. I don't know. Not necessarily.
Come on. You were all over the galaxies.
I was all up in that episode. I just think for me as an actor, I find it challenging to kind of play like a same note. You know, we're like, we're trapped. We're stranded. We're whatever. We're in peril. And
And to be at that intensity for the whole time.
So I think I was a little worried about, you know, coming off as just sounding one note. But they did such a great – they always do such a great job of, like I said, Andre Romano directing. And then the writing really helped out a lot with that. But I was thinking there's a lot of fight scenes and a lot of battles and a lot of us in that same position for a lot of episodes, so that was a little bit challenging for me, but I think we worked it out.
Because it was also heightened?
Yeah, it was also heightened, and it seemed like the other seasons had a lot more, like, I don't know, more comic relief or more, you know, episodes that were about other characters, but this was, we were in one place focusing on one thing for the entire season, pretty much. So, I don't know, that was a little challenging for me. What about you?
Yeah, no kidding. It was, well, I'm always the same.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing. I need to learn that from you.
Well, that's just Sendak.
You just take it to 11 and just leave it there. It stays at 11.
I love it.
Well, thank you. Do you have any? Do we have any final thoughts on these episodes? Do you guys have any final thoughts on this season?
It's sad to be dead. That's all I've got to say.
I mean, yeah. Other than that, other than it being sad to be dead, I think there's a lot of questions left. I mean, it kind of ended, but then it didn't. Like,
there was a lot of unanswered questions.
There's a lot of unanswered questions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Will they be answered next season?
Very good
question.
Well,
I'd hope so.
I say yes.
I would legit hope so.
I'll be interested. You guys were talking about character dynamics. I'll be interested to see where the Lance Allura sort of character dynamic goes, because there's been a lot of respect this season.
Interesting.
Oh, is that what the kids are calling it?
Is that respect and interesting development? So,
We'll see what happens.
Yes. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on tonight.
This was awesome.
This was really awesome.
Thanks for having me.
I
know.
That was awesome.
Good times.
It was really great. Thank you.
Do you have any upcoming projects that you can tell us about?
Ooh, no.
Good question.
That you can tell us about is always the moment.
I don't know. I've got a lot of stuff happening, but I don't. I just say nothing so then I don't get in any trouble. That makes it easier because I've done that before. But DC Superhero Girls, I can talk about that.
Yay!
Yes. Oh, right on. Yes. That's great.
And I'm playing Bumblebee.
Yes. Ironic.
So that's something cool that I'm excited about.
Awesome.
That's one thing. What about you?
Just some commercial stuff, but I can't, you know.
Hush, hush.
Very lucrative. It's the NDA corner.
It's the NDA corner.
Yeah, exactly.
They got us scared.
They do have us.
They got us scared, man.
They really do.
They do. What? I'm just don't say. Mm.
I mean, if it works, it works.
Yeah. I just know that they announced the DC Superhero Girls at Comic-Con. So I know.
So
I
you're good.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
All right. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Where can the people go if they want to follow you?
Oh, so on Twitter, it's Kimberly Brooks, D Brooks, and then on Instagram it's Kimberly Brooks 11.
Nice.
And thank you. Yeah. Please follow.
Blue Seder on Instagram.
Ooh.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks again, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Megan, where can the people find you?
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. And again, I highly recommend that you guys check out the ABTV Voltron hashtag. There's more art in there now. Thank you, Princess Ponies. It's delightful.
Thanks, guys.
You can follow Blue Lion Alexis at ATORS890, Red Lion Emma Fife at Emma Fife, and Yellow Lion Mark Donica at Mark B. Donica. I am Black Lion Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias and on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. Follow all of that for all the things I tweet about, the shows I'm on, my new podcast, everything. It's wonderful. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we will see you for the season finale.
Ooh. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Rapitsa.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.